Commercial/military explosives. Commercial and military explosives are normally used for such legitimate purposes as mining, demolition, excavation, construction, and military applications, Table 25.3. Unfortunately, criminals and terrorists may also attempt to steal and use explosives. Homemade/improvised explosive materials. Non-military first responders are more likely to encounter homemade or improvised explosive materials than military weapons in their day-to-day response activities. Responders typically stage 300 meters, 1,000 feet, away from a suspected explosive material incident. Improvised explosive materials are typically made by combining an oxidizer with a fuel, Figure 25.57. Many of these materials are fairly simple to make and require very little technical expertise or specialized equipment. However, the explosive materials created are often highly unstable. More than one potential terrorist has died trying to make homemade explosives, HME. The following sections describe peroxide-based explosives, chlorate-based explosives, and nitrate-based explosives. These categories do not represent a comprehensive list. Many oxidizers and fuels can be combined to form improvised explosive materials. Note, page 374 of the 2016 Emergency Response Guidebook provides an IED safe standoff distance table. Peroxide-based explosives. Peroxide-based explosives are made by mixing concentrated hydrogen peroxide, acetone, and either hydrochloric or sulfuric acid. Peroxide-based explosives include triacetone triperoxide, TATP, and hexamethylene triperoxide diamine, HMTD. Both TATP and HMTD are unstable during the manufacturing process and also as a finished product. This lack of stability makes them dangerous to make and handle. On the other hand, specialized equipment is not required for the manufacture of TATP and HMTD, so they can be produced almost anywhere. Chlorate-based explosives. Improvised explosive devices, IEDs, may contain chlorate-based oxidizers. Chlorate-based oxidizers commonly take the form of a white crystal or powder that must be mixed with a fuel source. Chlorates are a common ingredient in some fireworks and can be purchased in bulk from fireworks and chemical supply houses. Many manufacturing processes and many products use chlorates, including printing, dyeing, steel, weed killer, matches, and explosives. Nitrate-based explosives. Some IEDs may contain nitrate-based oxidizers, and some may already have a fuel source included, such as black powder and smokeless powder. Other explosives may require the addition of a separate fuel source. Lesson 6 PT2. Improvised explosive devices, IEDs. Depending on sophistication, IEDs are relatively easy to make and can be constructed in almost any location or setting. IEDs are not commercially manufactured, they are homemade. They are usually constructed for a specific target and can be contained within almost any object, Figures 25.58. Inexperienced designers may create IEDs that fail to detonate or, in some cases, detonate during the building process or when being moved or placed. Some bomb makers specialize in IED manufacture and make more sophisticated varieties. These sophisticated devices may be constructed with components scavenged from conventional munitions and standard consumer electronics components, such as speaker wire, cellular phones, or garage door openers, Figure 25.59. IEDs often include nails, tacks, broken glass, bolts, and other items that will cause additional shrapnel damage and fragmentation injuries. Identification of IEDs. The bomber's imagination is the only limitation to the design and implementation of IEDs. Be cautious of any items that attract attention because they seem out of place, anomalous, out of the ordinary, curious, suspicious, out of context, or unusual. IEDs may be placed anywhere. Usually, bombers try to avoid detection when placing IEDs. The level of security and awareness of the public, security forces, and employees affect where and how a terrorist will place an IED. IED types categorized by containers. IEDs are typically categorized by their container and the way in which they are initiated. Bomb types, based on the outer container, can include features similar to the following descriptions. You can identify types of IEDs by their method of transportation or delivery. Pipe bombs, figure 25.60. Satchel, backpack, knapsack, duffel bag, briefcase, or box bombs, figure 25.61. Plastic bottle bombs. Fireworks. M devices. Carbon dioxide, CO2, grenades. Tennis ball bombs. Other existing objects, figure 25.62. Mail, package, or letter bombs. A package or letter may be used to conceal the explosive device or material. Opening the package or letter usually triggers the bomb. Opening the package or letter usually triggers the bomb. Package or letter bomb indicators include, figure 25.63. Package or letter has no postage, non-canceled postage, or excessive postage. Parcels may be unprofessionally wrapped with several combinations of tape to secure them and endorsed. Fragile, handle with care. Rush. Do not delay. Sender is unknown, no return address is available, or the return address is fictitious. Mail may bear restricted endorsements such as personal or private. These endorsements are particularly important when addressees do not usually receive personal mail at their work locations. Postmarks may show different locations than return addresses. Common words are misspelled on the mail. Mail may display distorted handwriting, or the name and address may be prepared with homemade labels or cut-and-paste lettering. Package emits a peculiar or suspicious odor. Mail shows oily stains or discoloration. Letter or package seems heavy or bulky for its size and may have an irregular shape, soft spots, or bulges. Letter envelopes may feel rigid or appear uneven or lopsided. Mail may have protruding wires or aluminum foil. Package makes ticking, buzzing, or whirring noises. Unidentified person calls to ask if a letter or package was received. Person-borne improvised explosives devices, BIDES. Person-borne improvised explosives devices, BIDES, typically consist of bombs worn or carried by a suicide bomber. Suicide bombers wear the PBIED in the form of vests with many pockets sewn into them to hold explosive materials, figure 25.64. Terrorists may also carry BIDES or they may be attached to coerced or unwilling victims. Individuals carrying briefcases or packages are inherently suspicious to security forces, particularly in locations where personnel have to pass through a security checkpoint. In addition to bags, packages, and cases, clothing can conceal a bomb. The contours of bulky suicide vests or belts may be visible prior to detonation, figure 25.65. Terrorists might also wear unseasonable or atypical attire, such as a coat, which may conceal a suicide belt, during warm weather. Wires or other materials exposed on or around the body could also be an indication of a bomb. Never approach a suspected or confirmed suicide bomber who is injured or deceased. If there are several strong indicators of a suicide bomber, the first priority is to clear and isolate the area and observe the bomber with binoculars or spotting scopes. Trained personnel from an equipped explosive ordnance disposal, EOD, unit must conduct the first approach. These units may use a bomb disposal robot, figure 25.66. Behavioral indicators of potential suicide bombers include the following. Fear, nervousness, or overenthusiasm. Profuse sweating. Keeping hands in pockets. Repeated or nervous touching or patting of clothing. Slow-paced walking while constantly shifting eyes to the left and right. Major attempts to avoid security personnel. Obvious or awkward attempts to blend in with a crowd. Obvious disguising of appearance. Actions indicating a strong determination to get to a target. Repeated visits to a high-risk location during the recon/target acquisition phase. Placing items in locations that seem out of place or arouse curiosity. Vehicle-borne improvised explosives devices, BIDES, may contain many thousands of pounds, kilograms, of explosives that can cause massive destruction, figure 25.67. The explosives can be placed anywhere in a vehicle. When using small vehicles, such as passenger cars, the explosives are often concealed in the trunk. Indicators of a possible VBIED include pre-incident intelligence or 911 calls leading to the suspected vehicle. Vehicle parked suspiciously for a prolonged amount of time in a strategic or central location. Vehicle abandoned in a public assembly, tourist area, pedestrian area, retail area, or transit facility. Vehicle parked between, against, or close to the columns of a multi-story building. Vehicle that appears to be weighted down or sits unusually low on its suspension. Vehicle with stolen plates, non-matching plates, or no plates at all. Wires, bundles, electronic components, packages, unusual containers, liquids or materials visible in the vehicle. Unknown liquids or materials leaking under vehicle. Unusually screwed, riveted, or welded sections located on the vehicle's bodywork. Unusually large battery or extra battery found under the hood or elsewhere in the vehicle. Blackened windows or covered windows. Taped, sealed, or otherwise inaccessible hollows of front or rear bumpers. Tires that seem solid, instead of air inflated. Bright chemical stains or unusual rust patches on a new vehicle. Chemical odor present or unusual chemical leak beneath vehicle. Wiring protruding from the vehicle, especially from trunk or engine compartment. Wires or cables running from the engine compartment, through passenger compartment, to the rear of vehicle. Wires or cables leading to a switch behind sun visor. Appearance or character of the driver inconsistent with the use or type of vehicle. Driver who seems agitated, lost, and unfamiliar with vehicle controls. Anything about a vehicle that seems out of place, unusual, abnormal, or arouses curiosity. Response to explosive/IED events. All operations must be conducted within an incident command system and determined by the risk/benefit analysis. In addition, do the following. Follow designated SOPs. Always proceed with caution, especially if an explosion has occurred or it is suspected that explosives may be involved in an incident. Understand that secondary devices may be involved. Request EOD, bomb squad, personnel, hazmat, and other specialized personnel as needed, figure 25.68. Treat the incident scene as a crime scene until proven otherwise. Never touch or handle a suspected device, even if someone else already has. Only certified, trained bomb technicians should touch, move, defuse, or otherwise handle explosive devices. Do not use two-way radios, cell phones, or mobile data terminals, MDT, within a minimum of 300 feet, 90 meters, of any device or suspected device. The larger the suspicious device, the larger the standoff distance should be. Use intrinsically safe communications equipment within the isolation zone. Note unusual activities or persons at the scene and report observations to law enforcement. Limit personnel exposure until the risk of secondary devices is eliminated. Limit exposure until the secondary device risk is eliminated. Chemical attacks. A chemical attack is the deliberate release of a toxic gas, liquid, or solid that can poison people and the environment. Attackers may use chemical agents or toxic industrial materials, TIMs. Chemical agents are intended for use in warfare or terrorist activities to kill, seriously injure, or seriously incapacitate people through their physiological effects. TIMs are particularly poisonous hazardous materials that are normally used for industrial purposes, but they could be used by terrorists to deliberately kill, injure, or incapacitate people. This section explains the following types of chemical agents. Nerve agents. Blister agents, vesicants. Blood agents, cyanide agents. Choking agents, pulmonary or lung damaging agents. Riot control agents, irritants. Toxic industrial materials, common hazardous materials used for terrorist purposes. Table 25.4 provides the UN/DOT identification number and hazard class for some of the common chemical warfare agents, as well as the ERG where responders can obtain additional information to manage the initial response phases of the incident. Chemical attack indicators. Chemical attacks usually result in readily observable features, including signs and symptoms that develop very rapidly. Chemical attack indicators include warning or threat of an attack or received intelligence. Presence of hazardous materials or laboratory equipment that is not relevant to the occupancy. Intentional release of hazardous materials. Unexplained patterns of sudden onset of similar, non-traumatic illnesses or deaths. The pattern could be geographic, by employer, or associated with agent dissemination methods. Note, letters in parentheses next to the name represent military designations, not chemical formulas. Unexplained odors or tastes that are out of character with the surroundings. Multiple individuals exhibiting unexplained skin, eye, or airway irritation. Unexplained bomb or munition-like material, especially if it contains a liquid. Unexplained vapor clouds, mists, and plumes, particularly if they are not consistent with their surroundings. Multiple individuals exhibiting unexplained health problems such as nausea, vomiting, twitching, tightness in chest, sweating, pinpoint pupils, meiosis, figure 25.69, runny nose, rhinorrhea, disorientation, difficulty breathing, convulsions, unexplained deaths and/or mass casualties. Casualties distributed downwind, outdoors, or near ventilation systems, indoors. Multiple individuals experiencing blisters and/or rashes. Trees, shrubs, bushes, food crops, and/or lawns that are dead, not just a patch of dead weeds, discolored, abnormal in appearance, or withered, not under drought conditions, figure 25.70. Surfaces exhibiting oily droplets or films and unexplained oily film on water surfaces. Abnormal number of sick or dead birds, animals, and or fish. Unusual security, locks, bars on windows, covered windows, and barbed wire enclosures. Nerve agents. Nerve agents are the most toxic chemical warfare agents. Exposure to even minute quantities can kill quickly by attacking the nervous system. Stable, easily dispersed, and highly toxic, nerve agents have rapid effects when absorbed through the skin or respiratory system. Although nerve agents are generally clear and colorless, colors and odors can vary with impurities. Impure G agents may have a slight fruity odor. VX is odorless. Although people sometimes use the term nerve gas, the term is a misnomer. Nerve agents are liquids at ambient temperatures and dispersed as an aerosolized liquid, vapor, not gas. Therefore, the size of the endangered area may be relatively small. However, the vapor hazard can significantly increase if the liquid is exposed to high temperatures, spread over a large area, or aerosolized. Speed is the most important factor in medical management of individuals who have been exposed to nerve agents because of their extremely rapid effects. Effective treatment is best achieved by immediate use of auto-injectors containing antidotes. Blister agents. Blister agents, vesicants, burn and blister the skin or any other part of the body they contact. They act on the eyes, mucous membranes, lungs, skin, and blood-forming organs. These agents damage the respiratory tract and inhaled and can cause vomiting and diarrhea when ingested. Blister agents are more likely to produce casualties than fatalities, although exposure to such agents can be fatal. Blister agents are usually persistent and may be oily liquids ranging from colorless to pale yellow to dark brown, depending on purity. Blister agents may take several days or weeks to evaporate. It is more difficult to remove these agents during decontamination than less viscous products. Blood agents. Blood agents are chemical asphyxiants. They interfere with the body's ability to use oxygen either by preventing red blood cells from carrying oxygen to other cells in the body or by inhibiting the ability of cells to use oxygen for producing the energy required for metabolism. Some sources may use the terms blood agents and cyanogen agents synonymously, but not all blood agents are cyanogens. For example, arsine is not. Similarly, not all cyanogens are necessarily blood agents. Blood agents are sometimes categorized as TIMs because they also have industrial applications. First responders should be familiar with the following blood agents. Arsine, SA. Arsine gas is formed when arsenic comes in contact with an acid. It is a colorless, non-irritating toxic gas that has a reported mild garlic odor. Most people can only detect this odor at levels higher than those necessary to cause poisoning. Hydrogen cyanide, AC. Hydrogen cyanide is a colorless, highly volatile liquid that is extremely flammable, highly soluble, and stable in water. Mixtures of the vapor and air may be explosive. The vapor is less dense than air and has a faint odor that is reported to be similar to bitter almonds. About 25% of the population cannot smell hydrogen cyanide. Cyanogen chloride, CK. Cyanogen chloride is a colorless, highly volatile liquid that dissolves readily in organic solvents but is only slightly soluble in water. Its vapors are heavier than air. Cyanogen chloride has a pungent, biting odor. Normally, it is a non-persistent hazard. Exposure effects to cyanogen chloride are similar to hydrogen cyanide, but with additional irritation to the eyes and mucous membranes. Choking agents. Choking agents attack and cause tissue damage to the lungs. They are sometimes called pulmonary or lung-damaging agents. Like blood agents, choking agents have industrial applications, and responders may encounter them during normal hazmat incidents. Choking agents include chemicals such as diphosgene, DP, chlorpicin, PS, ammonia, hydrogen chloride, phosphine, and elemental phosphorus. Two of the most common choking agents are chlorine and phosgene. Chlorine, yellow-green in color, chlorine has a pungent, bleach-like, irritating odor. When liquid chlorine is released, it quickly turns into a gas that is heavier than air. Chlorine does not remain in its liquid form for long, so Decan is usually not required. Exposure may cause coughing, chest tightness, burning eyes, nose, and throat, watering eyes, blurred vision, nausea and vomiting. Phosgene, a colorless, non-flammable gas that has the odor of freshly cut hay. Its odor threshold is well above its permissible exposure limit, so it is already at a harmful concentration by the time someone smells it. Phosgene may remain for long periods of time in trenches and other low-lying areas. Phosgene does not remain in its liquid form very long, so Decan is usually not required. Exposure symptoms are similar to chlorine, although phosgene may also cause burns and rash to skin.